We'll take our text tonight from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, just one verse for now. John 9:25. And he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Now, I don't know what was or what is, but one thing I know now is that I was blind, but now I see. In this account here, Jesus just healed the blind man that was blind since birth. And he was healed, his disciple asked him, was it his sin or his parents' sin that caused him to be blind? And Jesus said, well, neither. It's not his sin or his parent. This happened so the work of God can be manifest in him. Many things happen in our lives so God can be manifest in our lives. Sometime when unfortunate things or when we go through trial or stuff happens, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? The first thing that comes to my mind is, Lord, what did I do wrong? Please forgive me. Just human nature, right? Or just the thought. But a lot of time, that's not the case. Just like in this account here, many things happen so God can be glorified, so God can be manifest in our life. And a lot of time, it's not just for us. It's for those around us. God used that to manifest that and to just witness to those around us that need to be spoken to or shown the light to. And recently I've been listening through the book of Job. Job, that's one account, one example in that case. Not too many people in the Bible that God called perfect and upright. And Job was that man. And look at all the thing that happened to him in just the first couple chapter alone. Everything was taken away from him. Everything that could ever happen to anybody happened to him. It's a sad situation. But you know what? Job did not complain much about God. He did not blame God. He did not just, God, why is this happening to me? Of course, the devil leave his wife alone, and his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? But, and of course, he has some wonderful friends also who keep telling him, Job, you're a sinner. You did something wrong. You messed up. You need to confess up. So those are very encouraging friends. So again, things like these happen so God can manifest, God can give glory. And another example would be David's early life. When David was anointed as king as a teenager, it was many years, anywhere between 12 to 15 years before he sat on a throne. Those years are debatable. So again, all the thing that he gone through, all the trial, the situation, not having a home, not having a place to sleep, to abide by, but just a few companions and friends and good friend to follow him, to help encourage him. But God used those situations that he gone through, again, to glorify God and let everybody around him know who God is and what God can do. So now back to the account on this blind man here. So when he went home and, his friend and his neighbor saw what happened to him, and they didn't want to believe it. So they took him to see the Pharisee, because they were the law at that time. They were in charge. They're supposed to know everything and judge everything. So, but the Pharisee, they're the one who having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, denying the power of their God, right? So they deny any power of God. Just in today's, our society, if we, say that we can't live above sin, we are denying the power of God. If we say we can't live a holy life or separate apart from the world, we are denying the power of God in our life. If we say that, you know, we have to conform to the world, the culture around us, we can't separate ourselves from that, we are denying the power of God in our lives. So, and those are just specific example. I don't want to go into any other detail. I don't want to offend or hurt anybody's feeling. But, you know, search your heart. In any way, a certain way, are you denying the power of God in your life? You know, so, and so they took it to the Pharisee. Again, they have an alternative motive. They have a motive behind that why they took it to the Pharisee, because apparently Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath, and that was a no-no. And the Pharisee doesn't want to believe that. You know, if he's from God, he can't heal, you know, on the Sabbath, and that's wrong. It must be something else. It must be from the world or just evil purpose. So, and that's why that was their intention, was to go to the Pharisee. So they want, again, to deny the power of God. They want to refute it, and it says it can't be from God because it happened on the Sabbath. You know, again, a lot of them, they profess to know God, but their deed, they deny him. What are some of our deeds in our life or out there that we denying, you know, God? It's okay. It's good to come to church and, you know, act nice and smile and look nice. But when we leave this place, are we the same person as we out there, as we are here? You know? That's just a challenge tonight, you know, if you want to. We should, no matter where we are at, we should be the same. We should be, our first and foremost priority is to shine the light of Jesus Christ. You know? So, again, they think of something else. Now, another example of just our world, our culture denying just the power of God or the miracle that happened. A while back, a few months ago, I saw this documentary, I'll get it right one of these days. But it caught me. The title caught me. It says, you know, the truth of the Bible reveal, and it was about the Red Sea, about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. And this guy did some research. He believed and he know that the children of Israel escaped from Egypt. And they went to the other side, on the other side of Red Sea. So he was trying to do everything he could to find out what happened or how they crossed. And he knew for a fact, it was a historical fact in document and every document in Egypt and other part of document he found that they somehow got to the other side of the Red Sea. But he was trying to find out how can that be possible when the sea was so wide and how deep it was. So, yeah, he did. Trying to justify a lot of things away. You know, one of the way was, you know, maybe the wind just blew it and the water was only a couple feet deep and they walk on dry ground. And he said, well, that couldn't happen because, the sea was too deep in that certain time. Or maybe they went all the way to the north part of the Red Sea and crossed kind of on the grassy, mossy land. At the end of the thing, he said, you know, we don't know how it happened. But it did happen. But again, at the same time, he knows the truth, but he didn't want to accept the power of God of it, the power, the miracle that happened when they crossed the Red Sea, when God parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel walk across it. Again, that's just an example. And I didn't finish the whole thing, and toward the end, I just kind of turned it off. It's just kind of disappointing to know the whole truth, this historical fact. No, you know, from point A to point B, it happened, but in between, you're denying the miracle that happened. So it was sad and depressing. I pity the guy. So back to this. So now the Pharisee took over. They came and asked his parents. They said, "Hey, is this your son?" Was he blind? Did this miracle happen to him? Again, his parent was afraid because again, the Pharisee already made a rule and or already confirmed that if anybody confessed that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, that they would get excommunicated from the church or get kicked out of the synagogue and the church, and you can't be part of that anymore. I guess being part of the synagogue was more important than acknowledging the power of Christ, you know, the miracle that Christ did for their son, which again is sad. And so they were afraid. So their easy, their cop-out answer was, well, he's old enough. He knows how to talk. Why don't you ask him? That's what they said. So, no, I don't want to answer. You just go ask him. He's right there. And, you know, of course they did. And again, they let the power of fear overtook him. Yeah. And, you know, the other day, I think Brother Tom was mentioning, you know, he was glad, was public speaking was the number one fear of all. And Brother Tom was glad that nobody told him. Well, you know, I don't think you have to be told that public speaking is like a number one fear. Here's an example. When I was in high school, 11th grade, first time I had to give a speech, I had it all memorized and practiced many times that night and throughout the week. And then when I got to the English class and had to do the speech there, I got up. It's supposed to be a 10-minute speech. You know, I got up, looked at my paper, and I stood there. Looks like maybe, it seems like 10 minutes. I think all I did was read the title of my speech. And 30 seconds later, I went to sit down. So, that was my first fail. Great. It was disappointing. That affected me for a long, long time. But, see, again, I didn't need to be told that public speaking is a fear. But, I'm glad it's a miracle that I'm up here reading God's word in front of all you guys here. And thank the Lord for that. But again, you know, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." He gave us power, right? Power to do His will, to go His way, to watch it, to walk in His direction. Again, you know, as tonight, I always enjoy the testimony, and I understand there's probably a lot of us out here that afraid to stand out, stand up, and give a shout for the Lord. You know, my recommendation for you, for a guy who can't even speak and give a speech, you know, do it for the Lord. The Lord will use that to manifest Him in your life. It says right here, He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power. Power. Claim that power. Don't let fear control our life. Don't let fear control your life that might limit you, that somebody could hear that testimony, that could encourage, or could even convict somebody. God can use that to convict somebody to come to pray and might even get saved. You know? So again, don't let the fear limit your testimony. Don't let fear, be ashamed. Don't let be ashamed of your testimony, because God gave you your testimony for a reason. And that is to glorify Him and to share with everybody else. You know? So, and, back to his, again, fear. You know, once it become full bloom, if you allow fear to come into your life and every part of your life, or even a little bit of your life, it will take on more and more of your life. And when it comes to full bloom, I believe fear can take away your faith, your belief, and your courage. You know, it will take away your hope, because fear will control every part of your being. But you know what? God says, "I have given you the power. My spirit have given you the power, you know, to overcome that fear." So now they come to the blind man. So they try to get the blind man to confess and say, "Hey, the guy that healed you is a sinner." And no, he said, "You know, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, or whatever he does. What I know is that one thing I know is that whereas I was blind, now I can see." So, you know, spiritually, we were all born blind. You know, we couldn't see because we don't have that connection with God that we once were when Adam and Eve was in the garden. Because of that Adamic nature, we were all born with sin. I mean, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Right? The world doesn't want us to accept sin. The world doesn't want us to accept what is bad out there. The world doesn't want us to know that they don't want us to know that sin exists, because if sin doesn't exist, then God doesn't exist. Yeah, right. It doesn't want us to rely on God, and it doesn't want God to save us. And if it doesn't want us to accept that we have that sin nature, I mean, I always like kind of pondered this question even a long time ago, before I was saved. You know, if everybody was born good or born without sin, how come we were never taught on how to be bad? How come we have to be taught to be good? Example, yeah, I love my twins. They're 15 months old now. Like Sage, they like to now to go into open drawers and just take everything out and throw. And we'll tell them, no, no. And Sage, what she does now is when she go open the drawer, if she see one of us, Chrissy or I, standing there, she'll just look at us and look at the drawer and wait. And then she'll start taking out, and we said no, and then she'll just look at us again and just go that. But Ivy, she just opened the drawer, she'll just start taking it out. She wouldn't even give us a glance. So see, they both know that it's wrong, and we taught them it's wrong, but they still do it. I mean, right now it's cute, but when they become teenager, you know, they'll probably have to get kicked out of the house. But again, the world doesn't want to accept sin, the nature of sin that we're born with, begin because the world doesn't want us to rely on God. And the enemy of our soul doesn't want us to know that God can forgive us, can save us. And the world doesn't want to know that Satan exists also. I mean, the devil, that's one of his greatest lies. He convinced many people in this world that he doesn't exist. Again, if he doesn't exist, then there is no God, but he does exist. Look at all the world. Look at all what's happening in our world, in our neighborhood. You know, sin does exist. Evil does exist. And the only way that we can overcome that evil is through the power of God, and through God, and through Jesus Christ. Because you know what? People are born just like the end time. People will be lover of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, slanderous, without self-control, not loving of good, reckless, lovers of pleasure instead of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible is saying. I mean, any of those, if you just look around or in the media or news, you see all that. And we are, I mean, people are like that from a long time ago to now, and we are living in the end time now. And this is what people are doing. You know, the world doesn't want us to accept that inherent sin again, because again, it could be just, well, it's an issue or some kind of medical issue or this and that, all kind of excuses. But for the wage of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us that while we are yet sinner, Christ died for us. So tonight, are you still blinded by the world, by your sin? Have you opened your eyes yet? Have you seen the light of Jesus Christ yet? If not, it's time to open your eyes, the eyes of your heart, your soul. See God. Because you know what? He sent his son to die for you and I, that we might have life. So we don't have to live in darkness anymore. If you live in your darkness right now, you know, give your life to Jesus, because he wants to use that life, you know, to save everybody. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everybody to come to know him, because he's coming back soon. And when he come back soon, there's not going to be a second chance. It's going to be too late. Make sure you're right with God. Make sure you are right with God. Because when he comes, when the rapture happened, you know, you don't want to be left behind. There's a lot of stuff that, the bad thing that you don't want to know or see or experience. You know, you can read about it in the book of Revelation, all this stuff, you know, and Daniel and Isaiah also. So again, are you ready to see? Are you ready to open your eyes? Give your life to Jesus Christ and he will let you see what is out there and what is good. So, I invite all of you, again, open up your heart to Jesus Christ, and the altar is open for prayer. You are welcome to pray or pray where you're sitting at. And the song of invitation is 734.